This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
100 years ago, immigrants from British India living on the west coast of North America came together to found the Gandhar, or Rebellion, Party. Their common goal was to liberate India from British rule. Working from that tradition and taking inspiration from other armed struggles, a little-known rebellion in what is now known as Bangladesh took place in the 1930s. Chittagong is the acclaimed film from first-time filmmaker Biprata Pain. Based on the Bangladeshi rebellion, Chittagong will be shown tomorrow at SFU Harbor Center as part of a free public forum. And the forum is being held to examine the legacy of the Gandhar Party. Earlier this week, I had the chance to speak with Chittagong's director, Biprata Pain, and I began by asking him what the movie was all about.
So Chittagong is, for those of you that don't know, it's a city now in Bangladesh, which was, during the British time, part of undivided Bengal. And the story here is of an uprising that happened in 1930, where 60 kids, the youngest one being 14 and the oldest probably around 22, the 60 kids, two girls, and a school teacher, for the first time defeated the British in a battle and kicked them out of a town. As you know, India was under the British rule. And my story is about that uprising, but told from the point of view of this young boy, the youngest participant in this uprising. This 14-year-old boy, his name is Chunku Roy. And what's even more exciting is that the story actually ends in a victory, unlike other movies, which usually end in some kind of a despondent note or in a failure.
Now, why did you decide to make the film as an historical drama rather than a documentary, for instance?
That was pretty clear, actually, right from day one, because going back, actually, this event, even though it's such an inspiring and such a fantastic thing that happened, very few people in the subcontinent actually knows about this incident. If you ask people in India, before this film was made, you say Chittagong, and they'll say, Chitta what? And we wanted to end that sort of collective amnesia. And, a documentary goes only that far in bringing that out. And besides, as a filmmaker, my fundamental commitment is to storytelling. I love storytelling. I love the way we Indians actually have the tradition of telling history through storytelling. Many of our old tales are like that. They're actually very rich in history, but are told in kind of a folk way, in a narrative. So for me, the narrative was very important, and that was also the way to reach out to a much larger audience than you could with a documentary. So that question was never really a question in my mind, that if I wanted to explore this, I wanted to explore it as a narrative, but of course with based on real events. Because I think when you do a narrative, it becomes a story of a person, and the filmmaker and the audience takes a journey with that person. I think that imagination, that way of visualizing when you're hearing, seeing a story, is what really attracts me.
So there was certainly a commitment to historical accuracy as well as to the drama, I guess.
That's a big balance, because you very rightly said it's not a documentary, so. I cannot be, I had to, so here is what we decided. I decided that I have to stay true to the spirit of that event. At the same time, if I were to show everything exactly the way it happened, there will not be any drama. So there is always that tension, that balance between the documentary aspect and the dramatic aspect. And I was very, very happy that one of the leading critics in India, that's one of the things he pointed out, is that this movie, which, by the way, in India won the National Award as the best film by a debut director, and also won three other awards: best song, best playback singer, and one of the actors won a jury award for this film. So one of the critics actually said that Chittagong is one of the first films on a historical topic that got this balance right, that it was not flying off in an imaginary space, nor was it being just a documentary.
Now, I understand that you were originally trained as an engineer. I'm just curious to know, how did you come to become turn your hand to filmmaking?
Well, as I say, there is always a fine line between bravery and foolishness. I was a senior research scientist with NASA for a good 15 years. I was in charge of all the image sensor development that goes into all the space programs. You know, that's what I was doing. I was in the top of my career. But I realized that, you know, I also have an artistic side which was not being fed. And I wasn't getting any younger. So I knew that if I didn't jump the boat now, I would perhaps never do it. So one fine, and you know what was happening is that because I was a senior research scientist leading a big group, there was never really a good time to bail out, because at any given point of time, there are always unfinished work. So I realized that one fine morning that I just have to bail out and have to close that door behind me. Otherwise, I will not be able to jump into this arena of filmmaking. And which I did, wrote the script. The script was very well received in India, and then proceeded to make the film. And but here it is. I mean, when I went to my film set, that was the first time I set my foot on any film set. I had no training whatsoever, but I could see the film play in front of my eyes. And I think it's because of that vision I managed to pull this film through, which now has been very, very well regarded, both in India and outside. We won the Sedona International Film Festival as the best film, as well as in Florence.
Now, of course, you're coming to Vancouver this weekend for a screening of Chittagong as part of a forum being hosted by Simon Fraser University. What is that forum going to be about?
So the forum is about another uprising that happened. Well, you know, India, being under the colonial rule, had a series of uprisings. And one of the uprisings that is the topic of this forum is the Gadar uprising, where a number of people from North America and other places went back to India to fight for India's independence. And this is the 100th year of that uprising. And that's what the celebration is about. And how appropriate it is to have another uprising that happened, you know, sort of 10 years after this Gadar uprising, or more than that, 15 years after this Gadar uprising, to sort of end that program with. And another very interesting connection between the two movements is that a large number of revolutionaries from this particular movement, the Chittagong uprising, after they were arrested by the British, were sent to the penal colony, what's called the Andamans or the Kalapani, which is exactly where the Gadarites had also been. The Gadarites, being the Gadar uprising revolutionaries, had also been sent. And that's where they all met, and they came out and carried on their political struggles in their own ways. And in fact, my movie Chittagong does not end in 1934, which is when sort of the event happened, but it actually leaps forward another 10 years, and that's where it ends in a victory.
And that's with the Indian independence and the British finally leaving, of course, right?
Yes, well, it actually ends a little bit before that. I don't want to give up the ending of the movie, of course. But yeah, I would encourage your listeners to come and catch the movie this Sunday at 2 p.m. And I will be there, of course, and I'll be there for Q&A afterwards. I think it's going to be, I'm really looking forward to it, because Vancouver is also the seat where a large part of this Gadar movement happened. So it would be, it's a very, very apt place to have a forum like this, and I'm really honored that my film is being shown there.
Do you know if there was any, with the formation of the Gandhar Party here on the West Coast of Canada and the U.S., were there any sort of political agitation done here at all, or was it all done with Indians returning back to India to directly fight the British?
No, I mean, it was a very wide-ranging movement. I mean, it had the Gandhar Party folks. Many of them were actually workers, immigrant workers in North America and Canada, Vancouver being one of the main centers. And they had very wide-ranging links with the Irish patriots of that time, work that was happening in China or in Germany. So it was a very, it's a movement with a very international reach. But their main focus was to liberate India from the colonial rule. And as Gandharites, their main work was in India, and that's why they went back to India in large numbers. In fact, there was an incident with Kumagata Maru, which is one of the ships that was docked in Vancouver in 1915, I believe, where it became a huge rallying movement for all, you know, democratically minded people for violation of rights of these immigrants. So the history of Gandhar movement is not just with India, but it actually encompasses all people fighting for rights.
And you've been listening to an interview I recorded earlier this week with Beda Prata Payne, a former NASA engineer and first-time movie director. His film Chittagong will be screened tomorrow at SFU Harbor Center as part of a free public forum on the legacy of the Gandhar Party.